Joe probably didn't hear how I teased his segment at the end of last segment.
He did not. He did not hear it,
but he played right into it, which is fantastic. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. You know, fun to have a Thursday night game that we're going to talk about here. So,
Good. We're not going to talk about this. let's talk about what happened last night in that building, Joe.
We can.
Oh my gosh.
I know Joe would like to.
Yeah, I know Joe would like to because that'd get everybody fired up.
Say what?
We just said we can't cuss. I can't talk about what happened last night. That's how bad it was. There was, in all honesty, there was some tragic poeticism or poetry to what happened last night with Joseph Martinez scoring two goals in that stadium to kind of, not mathematically, but for all intents and purposes, kind of ending Atlanta United's season. So tough one to swallow, I think, for a lot of people, if they still care at all. And I think that that's kind of a bigger problem for that club. But should be a ton of energy in the building tonight, I would think.
It is amazing how those things always link up, though. The symmetry of sports somehow. I know it didn't officially knock them out, but for it to be that dude in that building with not a lot of people in it as this season sort of limps to a finish, it sucks. I hope they get it right this offseason because it was really fun when they had it going and he was there scoring goals for Atlanta United. All right, let's talk health. Who's going to play tonight? Who's not going to play tonight for the Falcons?
Oh, my gosh. Hey, well, you know, it's pretty clean slate. I mean, the Falcons have a much better injury situation than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do. I think that's actually the bigger story is not so much the Falcons' injury situation, but the Bucs, because they've got like five players out and a ton more guys on the injury list this week, even though some of those guys will play. But pretty much everybody outside of like Baker Mayfield and Chris Godwin, essentially, is on the injury report for Tampa Bay. But there's been some, you know, things that have been a little bit worrisome earlier in the week. Bijan Robinson, Ray McLeod were both limited in practice, but they were full goes by yesterday. And some of these limited, it's weird on a short week, they have to basically give their estimation of what they would have been. Because they're not actually going out there and doing these practices. The big one is Caleb McGarry, who got in a full participation practice yesterday. And to me, that would signal that he's going to be ready to play. And I think that he would be back at right tackle. The big miss, of course, for the Falcons is Troy Anderson in this one, who didn't practice all week and is going to be out with a knee. Now, I have heard that it is a pain tolerance thing with him. I did see him in the locker room yesterday, just kind of changing clothes, probably, you know, going from a workout to a treatment or something like that. But I just say I've seen him walking around the building. It's not like he's like in a wheelchair.
You got it.
You know, it's not that serious.
You weren't being a creep. You weren't being a creep.
No.
Just doing your job.
Not at all. Not at all. But, you know, big test for J.D. Bertrand tonight, by the way, hails from my high school, Blessed Trinity out in Roswell.
Right.
Huge test for him, but, you know, the coaches couldn't be more kind of satisfied with the way that he prepares himself and confident in the way he's going to show himself on the field.
But that was going to be my question for you, Joe, because, you know, I mean, Andy did break the news that Troy Anderson would not be playing.
No big deal,
big deal, but we did break that news. but are you thinking of it from a standpoint, because there's so much sub package in today's game, are they going to go more dime, or are they going to let the young boy go out there and earn his way through it?
Yeah, I think they will do more dime, Randy. I think that there's a good chance we could see more Richie Grant also if they want to get like kind of like go that in-between, go with a little like three safety dime or nickel look to, well, I guess dime in this situation if you're doing it in for the reason of trying to not put Bertrand out there. But I think the coaches are confident in Bertrand. I think they'll still play plenty of nickel. I still think that he'll see a very good amount of snaps in tonight's game. And if you look at the Pro Football Focus grading, it's not like he did anything crazy, but he did play that last series and he got like a 90 something percent grade. Now again, I'm just saying, like, he basically, that means he was out there and not some like looking like a rookie, essentially, which is kind of funny because he's a fifth round pick and he's the first rookie that we've seen for this team actually go out there.
Oh, that's
and
true.
Snaps.
That's true.
So yeah, so he's the first one to really kind of go out there and show himself. Yeah. But, you know, everything, whenever you hear him talk or hear coaches talk about him, it's all down to this preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And from Notre Dame, he's always talking about everything he learned from guys like Al Golden, who coached him at Notre Dame. But then also, you talk about, you know, the guys that he's had influences or guys who have influenced him, Luke Kuechly, Sean Lee, James Laurinaitis. He's got kind of relationships with these guys and has developed those during the course of his kind of college and pro career. And he's that kind of cerebral type of player. And he's not the most physically imposing. I think the struggles that he's going to have is going to be kind of holding up physically, especially if he's got to insert himself, you know, to stop a run. He's not going to have, I think, the heavy kind of handed approach like Nate Landman does, but I think that he'll at least have himself in the right spots. He's just got those natural linebacker instincts to be able to make some plays.
Those are all my favorite linebackers too, Randy.
I knew you were going to say that, dude. I knew you were going to say that.
That's my Mount Rushmore right there. Hey, so obviously Tyler Allgeier got the ball a lot in the second half, got the run game going, has played very well. We knew that he could. I didn't know how much of a factor he would be and also kind of what other guys would look like. Do you think that they're going to try to get him involved a little bit more, a little bit earlier as in the game tonight?
I got to tell you guys, this is like starting, I think, an uncomfortable conversation. And it's not to say that Bijan has not been good. He's been very good, especially at certain times. But I think that it's kind of undeniable, or at least the stats show, that Tyler Allgeier gives you more consistent just yardage from play to play, down to down. And maybe there is something to the fact that he is the backup. So when he comes in, he's fresh and, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe teams aren't like as geared up to stop him or whatever, and aren't as keyed in on him as they might be with Bijan. But regardless of what the reason is, he picks up yards. And like so many people have said, he turns, you know, potential negative gains into positive ones. He turns short gains into, you know, mid-tier gains, which make a big difference. That's something that this team has been talking about, which is, you know, we got to be more successful on these early downs to put ourselves in convertible situations on third down, so we're not facing these third and longs. And I think that Tyler Allgeier gives you, you know, a good chance at doing that. And I think that the problem is that this team has wanted to use Bijan, again, in that quote-unquote Christian McCaffrey type way, just meaning that he's going to be your kind of workhorse back down to down. He's going to do a lot of things for you offensively. But when Tyler Allgeier comes in and he's, like, trucking guys and keeping his balance and, you know, maintaining his feet after contact and getting those extra yards, I have to imagine it makes these coaches want to use him more. And so I think the big question mark is, how do you do that while also trying to not just feature Bijan just for his own, like, kind of personal vanity, but for defenses? Like, how do you unbalance them and make them think about as many different ways that you can hurt them as possible?
JP, what in your opinion, I want to get your overall football opinion about the short week. What do the Falcons need to do most tonight to be able to stay on schedule? As far as it, running the ball, we know running the ball efficient, we get all that, but I'm talking about as a whole, how do these Falcons keep try to find a way to win the time of possession?
Yeah, well, I mean, it really is that. Like, that is a huge part of it. And again, to like having more success on some of these early downs, doesn't have to be like huge successes. In fact, this team is actually ripped off. I saw some stat where they've been like one of the more successful teams in terms of just like creating big plays on first and second down so far this season. But they've, again, found themselves in a lot of these third and longs. And another thing that contributes to those third and longs is penalties. And that obviously killed this team. It was hard to watch against the Saints with the amount of penalties. And obviously that one wipes off a touchdown, which is, you know, very kind of controversial, I think, sort of flag to throw in that case. But I got to say, guys, I'm kind of bracing myself for a pretty ugly game tonight because I just feel like that's the natural consequence of playing football on Thursday night in the first half of an NFL season. You're just kind of not best equipped to go out there and kind of show yourself. And so I think the big challenge for this team is being kind of a mode of play, like having the gears fully switched on and just, you know, having that intensity factor over the other team coming into it. I think that's going to be a huge portion of this, because when you actually are in the building and kind of talking to some of these guys, you do sense the physical and mental stress that is put upon them to have to like have just played a game, and then it literally feels like you're just trying to turn it around as quick as possible and play another game. And there's so much that work that goes on during a week to get yourself ready to play. So I think it's more of the intangible stuff, Randy, of like who's going to be able to just get themselves to that point. And ultimately, I think tonight is not necessarily about how the team looks. It's about winning this football game, moving on, getting that mini bye week, and then continuing your season.
Let me ask you this one, because it's obligatory, but also you've been asked about it, you've thought about it, you've probably asked them about it. Hopefully you have a slightly unique thought on it, because we've all been talking about it for years now. Kyle Pitts, I mean, what's the solution, Joe?
Well,
fix it.
I'm glad that there's a conversation happening about Kyle Pitts that is not so focused on Arthur Smith, because that's what frustrated me so much last year, was that it was like, oh, it's Arthur that's failing Kyle Pitts. And I think that what this season so far has shown is that there are like deficiencies that Kyle has that I think he can overcome, but I think that he has to improve in some areas. And if you just look at some of the footage that's come out, you know, just at the top of the route, like you can just see a huge difference in the way that a guy like Drake London is able to separate. And he's not necessarily like a speedy burner either. He's kind of similar in build to Pitts. But there's a huge difference in the way that he's able to create separation at the top of those routes versus Pitts. So, you know, the dropping the hips and really kind of like getting that separation is there's a big difference. And, you know, I think the other thing is I think part of it is on the coaching staff as well. We talk about like quarterbacks, they want to make a defender so he can't be right? Like a route combination where if the defender takes one guy, then the other guy's going to be open. Mm-hmm. I think there's something similar going on with the coaches where they got to figure out how defenses cannot be right against this offense. And if they want to scheme up or play Kyle Pitts a certain way, then how do you kind of use that to your best advantage to open up other players in this offense? And if that's at the hands of Ray McLeod or Darnell Mooney, then the coaches will be happy with that, I'm sure, if they're just moving the ball. But, there's definitely some things to work through with Kyle, and it'll be interesting to kind of monitor this situation over the next month or so.
It was a good answer. Thank you, Joe.
Appreciate it, JP.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.